Morning, everyone. Krisus Daf Zayin. We're back on Daf Vav, and we left ourselves off right at the point of Pita Maktaris. Okay. I've got a chumash later. We start with. Right. I'm sorry. Just looking for the place. It's the second wide line on the Amud on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, and we're going to learn how to make the Ketores. Now, the Ketores is burnt daily. Half of it, Mana is burnt every day. Half of Mana is burnt in the morning, and half of Mana is burnt in the afternoon. It was prepared usually annually in the beginning of the year. Okay, how many ingredients are there to the Ketores? So the correct answer is 11. There are 11 ingredients to the Ketores. The Torah mentions some of the ingredients, but the Torah does not mention all of the ingredients. All the ingredients, halach l'moshe mi-Sinai, so could be subject to a debate. Rashi, I'll show you later on this morning, is of the opinion that not all the ingredients were halach l'moshe mi-Sinai. I'll show you the Rashi a little bit later on this morning. Do we know exactly what each one of these ingredients are? Not exactly. We have good guesses. But there's no consensus of opinion exactly what they are. Tanur Rabbanan, this should run smoothly, as we say this every day, and now we'll gain just a little bit of a better understanding. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa Pita Makataris, to be Mefatim Makataris, to put a compound of the Kataris together. So first we go through four ingredients. Tsari. I'm going to give you rough ideas in terms of what they are. Not that I really know what they are, but just some ideas. Sari is probably sap from the balsam tree. Tziporin. It's kind of a root, that's for sure. You'll see that clear as we go through the Gemara later on. Suggestions are rock rose and anika. Am I saying it correctly? It's a type of flower. Chelbana. Galbanum. It's like a resin. Okay, it comes from plants and it grows currently in the country of Iran. And Lavona. Lavona frankincense. It's another type of resin. Mishkal Shivim Shel Shivamana. Now, of these four ingredients, you need 70 mana, which is approximately 119 kilograms. Again, this is now how much we're going to make in the beginning of the year for the entire year. More, myrrh, ktsia, which in English they say it's cassia, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, and shiboldnerd, it's called spikenard. I don't know what that is. Charkom is saffron. Mishkal Shisha Asar Shisha Asar Mana. Now here, of these last grouping, it's 16 mana each. Again, it's approximately 27 kilograms. Hakosht Nemasar V'Kilufar Shlosha. Kostas. Kilufa is a form of cinnamon bark. V'Kinamon Tisha. And Kinamon, of course, is cinnamon itself. Okay. Those are your ingredients. Those are your 11 ingredients in terms of the Ketores. So the Ketores itself is made up of a compound of 11 ingredients that we just quoted. Now the Gemara points out that there were other things added to the Ketores as well. These additives are for various reasons. So the Gemara is going to go through the additives. Boris Karshina Tisha Kabin. So there was Boris Karshina, which were 9 kavin of Boris Karshina. Okay, we'll get back to that in just a moment. Yein kafrisin sin tlasa, some sort of wine was added to it as well. Yein kafrisin sin tlasa kabin tlasa im ein lo yein kafrisin mevi chamar chevaya. Now, if you don't have the wine, so you could bring chamar chevaya, you could bring a white wine, atik, an old white wine. Melech sedomis rova. Melech Sodom is Rova. And you put a little bit of salt in it as well. Why do we add salt? Now, there are a couple of additives that we really haven't explained in terms of why it's added. Why was salt added? So it's an interesting Shita Mekubetzes. If you look at the Shita Mekubetzes, Os Chavav, so he writes, and I quote, Melech Sedomis, I'll call Karban Cha Takriv Melech. Because we have a mitzvah that with every Karban you have to add salt. Last week's Parsha. Right, last week's Parsha we learned that there's a Bris Melech, there's a covenant of salt. Salt is everlasting. And salt is also a phenomenal preservative. It is a beautiful illustration of a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's everlasting. It preserves. So every carbon has a requirement to add salt. So the Ketores is also a carbon. Okay, it's an unusual type of carbon. It's not offered on the Mizbech HaChitzon, but nevertheless, it is a carbon-like device. And so therefore, you have to put salt on it. That's a Rova HaKav. That's the quarter kav of salt that's added. It's interesting. Melech Sedom is Sanamite salt. That part I don't understand. Meaning it should just simply be Melech. But anyway, Mala Ashan Kol Shehu, there's this thing called Mala Ashan. Okay, I'm not sure what that is. Rabbi Nassan Omer Af Kipasa Yardin Kol Shehu, and Rabbi Nassan says even this thing called Kipasa Yardin. Okay. The Imasan Badvash Pasla. Now, if you add honey to it, it's no good, right? Again, going back to last week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayikra, we know that honey cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. Okay? Same thing that we mentioned regarding Melech. In other words, honey is just simply an additive that the Torah prohibits to be brought into the Mizbeach. So you can't add Devash to the Ketores. Apparently it would have been good for the Ketores, but it's going up onto the Mizbeach. So therefore, the Brisa warns us not to put honey on it. Now, if you're missing any one of the Samamanim, any one of these spices, you're going to be Chayv Misa. You know, it's funny, the Beis Yosef brings this down already. You know, some people avoid saying the Pitam HaKetores every day because of this line of the Braisa. The Braisa says that if you leave any one of them out, you're Chayv Misa. So the Beis Yosef says that, you know, some people, as a rationalization, say, well, I'm not going to say the Ketores because I'm going to go through it fast and I'm not going to say every one of them. And you know you're going to be Chayv Misa. So the Beis Yosef says, I don't understand. You're not going to be Chayv Misa just because you don't articulate one of them. That's not what the Braisa means. What does the Braisa mean when it says that you are Chayv Misa? You take a look at Rashi right over here in our Gemara. Rashi writes, Ki ayo b'yom ha-kippurim. Yeah, you know when you're Chayv Misa, I'll tell you when. When you go in on Yom Kippur, and yechziv al yavo b'choleis al ha-kodesh, in other words, you're going into Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you know that for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, this is a serious moment where if he doesn't go in correctly, so he's going to die. And what does that mean, not going in correctly? Meaning he's going in with the Ketores and he's going to burn the Ketores. And that burning of the Ketores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is, so to say, his matir. That's what permits him to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And so Rashi writes, Bezos yavo Aaron v'chi ma'al Ketores lo kehalacha bi'arekanisi v'chayev misa. So if you go into Kodesh HaKadoshim and your Ketores that you compounded is not a correct Ketores, so then yes, so then it's like going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim empty-handed, without the Ketores. And you can only go in with the Ketores, so therefore, that's when you're Chayiv Misa, that's when you're actually going to get the death penalty. Rabbi Shimon Omer, we're back to the Gemara, Hatsari Enol Asraf, Notef Me'atzei HaKetaf. Now we talked about the three, so it's that, it's Notef Me'atzei HaKetaf, Boris Karshina, Sheshafin Bo Tzipor. Now the Boris Karshina that we mentioned above, so that was there to basically cleanse the Tziporin. I'm sorry, Sheshafin Bo. It's there to cleanse the tziporin so that it'd be nice. Yain kafrisim, what was the wine for? Shasharim brought the tziporin. That's where we soak the tziporin in the wine. So that's strong. Now, urine would also be fine for it. But you don't bring urine into the mace of mikdash, meaning it can affect the same result, but just not appropriate to bring urine into the base of Mikdash. Mesayil Rav Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Da'amar Kodesh Hi, Kodesh Hi Alachem, Kol Maaseh Lo Yeo Ela B'Kodesh. And the Gemara says, and this supports that which Rav Yosi, Rabbi Chanina says, which is he can only make the Ketores in the base of Mikdash. Ela B'Kodesh. It could mean, here literally, the Azara. Meaning, but it has to be in the base of Mikdash. You have to make the compound of the Pitam HaKetores in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, if we could have made the Ketores outside the Beis HaMikdash, so then yeah, in other words, to bring urine into the Beis HaMikdash, that's not appropriate. But if you're preparing the Ketores and urine could have been a legitimate substitute, that would have been fine outside the Beis HaMikdash, right? In other words, you're not bringing urine in. Urine is just there as a chemical compound. It's just there to help the tziporin. But the fact that you have to make it in the Beis HaMikdash itself, so now pastish, it's just totally inappropriate to bring urine into the Beis HaMikdash, okay? So the Gemara right now stands by its statement, which is that you have to make the Ketores in the Kodesh, in the Beis HaMikdash. Meisvei. And to this, the Gemara now is going to challenge. And we're going to learn a Mishnah, which we've already seen already a number of times. HaMakdish Nechasev Ahayu Badvarim HaRu'uyin LaKarbanos. Person consecrates all of his possessions. And amongst his possessions are things that are right for a carbon. So, HaRu'uyin LaKarbanos HaTzibur. Yinah Lo'om Nimbischaram. Now, what do you do with that? What do you do with these items? You give these items to the workers as payment for their wages, for the services. Now, Hani Dvarim Maininhu. So the Gemara says, now, what exactly are we talking about when we're saying that you are Makdish your Nechasim, and included in your Nechasim are things that are fit for the Mizbeach, or for the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara says, what are we talking about? So it's a very limited list of things that we could be talking about, because Ibehema v'chaya tanalei, because the Braisa, the Mishnah, already talked about animals. In Iyena shmanim v'slasos tanalei, and it already talked about wines and oils and flowers, meaning that was all actually discussed in the Mishnah itself. Elalav kataris, so it must be talking about kataris. So it must be talking about a case where your makdish was in your kataris from your own house. Now, what were you doing with Ketores in your own house? That's a fair question. But if we could just move beyond that question for just a moment, what the Gemara is bothered by is the fact that you had Ketores in your own house, and you were Makdish it, and now you brought it to the Beis HaMikdash. So didn't you say that the only place that you could be making Ketores is only in the Beis HaMikdash itself? How can anyone be consecrating Ketores from his own house? This is what bothers the Gemara. This is the Gemara's question. I'm Rav Oshia, Ba'osin Intensel Unim Bischara. So Rav Oshia would like to offer a suggestion. I'll tell you, in other words, let's support our original assumption that Ketores can only be made in the Beis HaMikdash. And let's also suggest that a person can be offering the Ketores from his own home to the Beis HaMikdash. How did that happen? So what Rav Oshia suggests is, we're talking about the Ketores that's used to pay the workers. What are we talking about? The Tanya. So the Gemara says, because look at the following. Now this is a Mishnah. I know it says the word Tanya. We'll change it to Dinan. This is a Mishnah in Shkalim. Most are Ketores Mayosim, but what would they do with the leftover Ketores? Now, let me just give a couple minutes of, not even a couple, just 1 minute background over here in terms of understanding what we're about to see inside in the Gemara. Ketores was prepared annually, as I mentioned in the beginning of the discussion. We had a compound of Ketores that was used for the entire year, so that for every day of the year we would have 1 month of Ketores. Now, let's assume a solar year. I know that sounds funny. The Jewish calendar operates with a lunar calendar. But let's assume a solar year. So a solar year is 365 days. So they would prepare at least 365 mana of the Ketores annually. Actually, as we're going to learn in just a moment, they prepared actually 368. Okay, why the extra three? We'll talk about that later on. Okay, now in a regular Jewish year, 365 or even 368 is too much. Way too much. Meaning a regular Jewish year, a lunar year, is only 354 days. So you had at least 11 extra mana every year. Now it could be that you're going to have another 3 because of the extra 3. So you'll have 14, okay? At least. In other words, I know it could be a leap year. But let's just assume in a regular...
leap year, that's too little. No?
And if it's a leap year, it's going to be too little. So, but let's just assume that it's a regular Jewish year. So now you have 11 mana extra. Okay, so roll it over into the next year. It's not that simple. Why isn't that that simple? Because remember, with Karbanos, you have to keep current with the current year. You can't use last year's money to pay for this year's Karbanos. So the Ketores from last year was purchased with last year's money. So you can't just simply roll the Ketores over to this year, because for this year, we need this year's money. So how do you do it? So what the Mishnah over here is describing now is how to roll it over. How to roll over Ketores from last year over to this year. It's a simple accounting maneuver, and that is the following. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to deconsecrate the Kitareth. Okay, now that it's deconsecrated, now we're going to buy it back, so to say. The Beis HaMikdash is going to buy it back with this year's money. Okay, I gave you the really simple version of how to do it. The Mishnah gives a somewhat more complex version in terms of how to do it, and that is that we'll get umnim, we'll get workers involved. In other words, to just simply deconsecrate the Kitareth in of itself, just not appropriate. So therefore, we're going to deconsecrate it for a good cause, and then we're going to buy it back. What's a good cause? To pay workers. Pay workers is a great cause. So the Mishnah, now we're going to see the Mishnah inside. I'm going to read the Mishnah inside. Detailing relevant on the following Mishnah. Moser Kitareth Mayuo Simba. What would you do with the leftover Kitareth at the end of the year? Which now our goal is to roll it over to the upcoming year. Hayim Afrishin Schar HaUmnin Umechal Nasa Amaos HaUmnin. So here's what would we do. So we would set aside money for workers. Workers needed to get paid. And we had money in the Beis HaMikdash, Bedek HaBayis money, in order to pay the workers. We would set aside money for the workers, and now what we would do is we would deconsecrate the Kitareth, last year's leftover Kitareth, onto the money. So now the Kitareth is free and clear, meaning because its Kedusha value went on the money, that it was earmarked to pay the workers. Okay, now, we have Kitareth that's free and clear. What happens with that Kitareth? V'nosten osan le'umnin. Now the Kitareth is actually given to the workers. Bischaran, in exchange for the wages. V'chozrim v'lochen osa mitchuma chadasha. And now the workers understand what's about to happen. They're not going to go home with the Kitareth. Now they're going to wait, because now what's going to happen is the Beis HaMikdash is going to buy back the Kitareth from them using this year's money. Okay, period. That is the rollover process. I'm making last year's Kitareth this year's Kitareth. Okay, it's a little bit involved, I understand. We get the workers involved, but that's the way we do it. And now what the Gemara is suggesting is, how is it that someone's coming forward and saying, oh, by the way, here, I have Kitareth, right? Why don't I just give you my Kitareth? And so the answer is, based on this sequence that we just went through. So Maskevla Rav Yosef, Habechulam Osros Tanin Chozrim Velochin Osam Chuma Chadasha Vahachalotani. So the Gemara says that's a difficult shot. That's really not. It's not. That's not meaning. You're right about the process of the Kitareth, but you want to fit that in the first Brisa. That's not really what the first Brisa is talking about. In fact, the Brisa, the Hamakta Shechasav Ayubad Varim. I'm reading the first Mishnah, the first Brisa. Hamakta Shechasav Ayubad Varim Haruin LeKarbanos Atzibur Yinasun LeOmnim B'Scharan. If we're talking about the Kitareth happens only once a year, at the end of the year. This Brisa sounds like it's talking at all times. So it's a very difficult pshat in that first Mishnah. The Gemara says, Elam Rav Yosef, Be'achan Misamemane HaKitareth. Can we say a very simple pshat? It's such a simple pshat. And it's probably the correct pshat. Meaning, what are we talking about when we say someone was Makdish Nechasim and it goes towards the Kitareth? It doesn't mean prepared Kitareth. It means somebody had in their house Mord, or Lavona, or Kitzia. Meaning any one of the actual ingredients of the Kitareth. And he was Makdish that. That could be handed over to the Beis HaMikdash and be used towards the preparation. But not that he actually has prepared Kitareth in his own house, because the only place you can prepare Kitareth is in the Beis HaMikdash. Sorry. Tana Rabbana Kitareth Haisana Session Sadi Samech Ches Mane. You made 368 mana. Shin Samehe Kenek Yemotzachama. Now 365 corresponds to the dates of the solar year. Shloshem Mane Yisrael Shemehem Machnis Kohen Gadol Malo Chafna V'Yom HaKippurim. Now, an additional three. Why? For the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. As we have already learned, the Kohen Gadol has to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom Kippur, burning the Kitareth. Now, he goes in with a fistful. Now, actually, it's a double fistful, meaning he cups his hands, and it's going to be a double fistful that goes, and he's going to burn in the Beis HaMikdash. The one of the hardest things he's going to do is he's going to be transferring the Kitareth from the spoon into his hand, unassisted. Okay, and it's going to be cupped in his hand. So somehow he's getting it from the spoon into his hands. The thumbs are used to push the spoon along, something like this. But okay, anyway. So so three mana were used for the Kohen Gadol. Now three mana for a handful, that's more than enough. meaning a handful is maybe a quarter of a mana, even for the double handful. So, okay, fine. So, but three were used for the Kohen Gadol, B'yam HaKippur, V'ashani, Na Le'umanim, B'Sekharan. And then, what happens with all the leftovers? So the leftover is given to the umnim b'scharim. Kiditanya, most ektors mayos and ba mafrishin schar haumnim mechal nosa hamos umnim v'nosa nosa la umnim b'scharim v'chos meluch nosa mitchuma lishka. And then we quote the Mishnah again, just simply talking about how to roll over from one year to the next year. Okay, now by the end of a number of years, you're going to have a lot of extra, right? Meaning, okay, let's do it like this. Okay, let's. Before we go further in the Gemara, you can turn the page on the top now, Vav Amud Beis, but just let's think it through. I have 365 for a solar year. Okay, now, the lunar year and the solar year are going to average out, right? We make sure of it, right? You noticed how for the last 1800 years, we've been pretty good in terms of averaging them out. So let's, even though we go with the lunar year, but still, we're not going to get offended by the solar year, because we take that into consideration. So, okay, fine. So, 365 days. I know there's really another quarter day because the solar year is really 365 days and 6 hours. Okay. But then there's another three manas prepared every year for the Kohen Gadol, as we already discussed. But even the Kohen Gadol for those three extra manas is only going to be using a small fraction of the three extra manas. So, really, at the conclusion of every year, you're going to have minimum two extra manas at the end of every year. Okay, and it's really more than two extra mana. It's two extra mana, and then two and a half, two and three quarters, meaning you're going to have at least two plus a little bit more of extra mana of Ketores at the end of every year. Now, we're rolling over from one year to the next, but if you keep getting two extra by the end of every year, so those two extra keep accumulating after the course of a number of years. 60 years later, let's just project a little bit into the future. 60 years of rolling over, how much extra Ketores you're going to get? Minimum 120. Right, probably even more. Right, 140, 150 mana. So by the end of a 60-year period, you already now have half your year's worth of Ketores. So now you're going to prepare. So at that point in time already, basically what we're going to learn in the Braisa is you can half the recipe. Meaning the recipe that we have, the 70 mana, 70 mana, 70 mana, 16, 16, 16, right? The recipe that we have, and four of them are required 70 mana. Four of them have, three of them have a requirement of 16 mana. One being 12, one being 3, one being 9. But what we could do at the end of 60 years is just half the recipe, and that'll cover us for the rest of this year, right? Follow, it's pretty straightforward.
It says 120 becomes for the whole half a year.
After 60 years.
Okay, so 120.
It's really more than 120. I'm saying 120, but it's really more. Because you're preparing an extra 3 mana every year for the Kohen Gadol. But the Kohen Gadol only needs a quarter, let's say. A quarter of a mana for his two handfuls that are going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
For half a year, you need 180 days.
Okay, so when I said two, I really meant closer to three. A number closer to three. Two and a half. Tana Rabbanan Moser, Ketores Achas L'Shishim L'Shivim. Shana Hayim Efat Ma'asol L'Chatsayim. So about every 60 to 70 years, right? It's not, even in the Braisa, it's not absolutely precise. In other words, because it's hard to be precise because what we're deducting is a handful of the Kohen, and depending on who the Kohen is. And remember, in the Second Temple, it changed every year. the Braisa, later on, the Braisa is going to give ways of preserving it. I mean, you're talking about cinnamon. I mean, cinnamon and other such spices. Yeah, it doesn't spoil, but
when it says it gives the back to the people who made it, what do they do with it?
It's just a process of rolling it over. They don't do anything with it. They give it right back. The reason why they're doing that is because when they receive it now, for a small period of time, it becomes theirs. But now they understand what's going to happen. It's like selling your chametz on Pesach, right?
Yeah,
we know what's going to happen. not a great analogy, but it'll work.
Yeah, but shouldn't they have gotten paid from last year's collection of money?
They just, in other words, there's no requirement how to pay them. Meaning, they just simply need to get paid. Last year's money, this year's money, they're workers. They just need to get paid. The requirement of using last year's money versus this year's money is what I'm going to be using on the Beis Hamikdash, right? Specifically on the Mizbeach. Then it's important to know last year's money versus this year's money. But as far as the workers are concerned, they get, you can pay them whichever monies you want, right? So in the yeshivas, again, not to poke fun, it's a pretty serious topic, but they usually get paid with last year's money for this year, right? You understand? Tana Rabbanan Mosa Ketoros Achas L'Shishem L'Shivam Shana Hayim Efat Me Osal Chatzan L'Fichach Yachid Shepitam L'Chatzan Chayiv Divrei Rabbi Shem Gamliel. And it has now halachic significance because we learned in our Mishnah the whole reason why we're discussing this is because our Mishnah says that if you're Mefatim HaKetoros, if you make the compound of the Ketoros, you're Chayiv. So you would say, okay, but I have to make a full year's worth of Ketoros because that's how they did in the Beis HaMikdash. But now you know this little historical fact that every 60 or 70 years they would only be making half of the recipe. That means that if you and I, in the privacy of our own home, were to make half the recipe, we'd be violating the Isser of Pitam HaKetoros. Mishum Hazgan, I'm sorry. Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Shama Mishum Hazgan. Avashlish v'reviya lo shamati. How about a quarter? How about a third? Other way around. How about a third? How about a quarter? Meaning, would they? I understand that they would wait until they would only need to make half. Would they be making a third or a quarter? So he says, "Lo shamati." I don't know. All I have, the only tradition I have, is that they made half of the Ketoros. Okay. V'chacham amarim b'chol yom esakim b'makon ta v'yumach v'hayumach nis. The Chachamim have a totally different tradition, and that is that they would prepare daily. Meaning that, now, I'm not really sure, he totally disagrees, meaning that he doesn't subscribe to this idea of 368 at all. I'm not really sure. But it sounds like that if necessary, they would even prepare it on a daily basis. So, Messiah of the Ravadama Rava, would take out the word Shem and Amishka, replace it with Ketoros. It's totally possible that you'll be making half of a mana for the morning, half of the mana for the afternoon, and so therefore, according to Rava, even if I made that small amount of Ketoros, meaning a day's worth, let's say it even better, a half day's worth of Ketoros, I'm still going to be chayv on Pitam HaKetoros. Tan Rabbanan, Hayumach Zir Noso Lamach Teshes Pamim B'Shana. So it would go back to the grinder twice a year and be ground up, reground up twice a year. So B'Yamosa Chama Pzura Shalot Titafesh. Now in the summer months, so they would spread it out so it wouldn't spoil. B'Yamosa Kshamim Tzibur Kadesh Lo Tifog Recha. In the winter when it was colder, so they would put it together in a pile so that it doesn't lose its pungent odor. Omer, now, when you grind it, you got to talk, right? Whistle while you work, so you got to speak while you grind. Hadek heitev, hadek heitev, heitev hadek. Okay, and do you have to say exactly that? Sounds that way, but as we'll learn in just a moment, it's really more the sound. You producing a sound is good for grinding. Do I have a scientific way to explain this? I don't, but so what? I don't have scientific explanations for a lot of things. But apparently the sound that you produce is good for the grinding. Divrei Abba Yossi ben Yochanan, v'shosh mani yisterin shemehem kohen gadol machlis maloch hafna v'yam ha-kippurim. The three extra is where the kohen gadol would insert his hands and take a fistful of the ketoros to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh, and those nosal machteshas b'rev yam ha-kippurim v'shochem yafa yafa. Those would get ground up even again. Right? How do I know that? Kadesh they dakam and adaka, because they have to be not ground up, but finally ground up. What the Gemara calls dakam and adaka. Kidetanya daka mata malomar velokvar nemar v'shachakta mimenu hadek. The pasuk already tells us that it needs to be finally ground up in Parshas Kisisa. So why, when anachremos, when it's talking about grinding up, does the Torah say grind it up fine? We already know it needs to be fine. Mata malama daka kedishi daka mina daka, because in Yom Kippur it has to be not just ground up, but finely ground up. Daka mina daka. So therefore, there's a requirement for those three mana to grind them up a second time on Erev Yom Kippur. Amar Mar Kishu Shochik Amar Heitev Adek Adek Heitev Mesayel Rav Yochanan Amar Rav Yochanan Shem Shadibar Rali Yain Kina Hadibar Yafala Besamim. Now, when you make wine, so no noise. Okay, you don't speak when you make wine. Noise is bad for the production of wine. Again, I don't have a scientific explanation. Fine, but we have as a tradition. And dibor is yafel abesamim, but when you're making spices, so the talking is good. So there, that's not a talk-free environment. You're allowed to talk while you're making the besamim. You're encouraged to talk when you make the besamim. Amar Rav Yochanan Yudav Samim Manim Nemru LaMoshe B'Sinai. There are 11 spices that were said to Moshe at Sinai. Take a look at Rashi over here. Now, we already went through 11, meaning the beginning of our discussion this morning, the Pita Maketores, it actually goes through 11. But as Rashi points out over here, you open up a Chumash, you'll see it inside the Chumash as well. The Torah doesn't talk about all 11. So, Lael Chasham Yudal, Sreet Siporn Chabana Velavona, Morik Sir Shibol Ner Vecharkom, Hare Ches, Kosh Kinamon Kilufa, Hare Yudal Samamanim Namur Lola Moshe, Velo Nikvu Ella Dalin. Now, the Torah only gives us 4 of the 11. V'chol yirav debayi nesef. And Rashi writes clearly, so now, what do you bring for the 11? Or should we say now, the rest of the 11? Meaning, the other 7? So Rashi says, whatever you want. Meaning, we could be the chefs of the Ketores. The Torah only is makpid about 4 of them. The other 7 can be whatever we want, with, of course, qualifiers. Rashi goes on to write, Ova vashie koter va'oleh. It has to burn well, meaning the whole point of the Ketores is that it burns well, but in terms of what it actually is composed of, what the composite is, so we have a little poetic license. Okay? So that is Rashi on our Mishnah. So Rashi is clearly of the opinion that It is not written in stone, and certainly not in the Chumash in terms of what the actual 11 spices need to be. Torah is only makpid about 4 of them.
Where is the 11 coming from? The number 11.
The number 11. We'll get to how we got to number 11 in just a moment. That comes through drashas, but what they actually are. So Rashi is of the opinion that the Torah only gives us 4, and the other 7 we can ad lib.
So the Kohen Gadol wasn't supposed to be buried.
It was prepared, the Gemara in Shkalim, and we're going to see this later on as well, in Midos, it was prepared by a particular family who were experts in this field. Yudav Samamanim Nemru LaMoshe B'Sinai Amar Avuna Maikra. Now, how do we get to the number 11? Okay, Hedy, this is your question. Kachacha Samim. So Trey, so the Torah says take Samim. Now, the word Samim means spices, and that is 2. Remember our old rule, our trusty old rule, that whenever the Torah says plural and the Torah does not qualify what the number is, so we always assume the lowest number. Tafasta Muruba, lo tafasta. Tafasta Mu'a, tafasta. So we are going to assume that the word Samim is 2. Nataf Ushcheles Vechalbana. So now the Torah then gives us the next grouping, which is the actual 3 spices. Nataf and Shcheles and Chalbana. So that now gets us to 5. Samim Achrina, Chamisha. Then the Torah says it once again, Samim. But right now, at this point in time, when we get to this word Samim in the Torah, so we already have 5 spices. So when the Torah now says Samim again, it means take the number you have and double it. So that's 5 times 2, that's 10. Ha asara u levona zaka. And then the Torah says, and one more thing I want you to add, which is levona zaka chad. So that's 1 more, ha chad srei. That gets us to the number 11. Okay, now the Ema, the Gemara now, the Gemara becomes like a testing ground. How do you know that that is correct? So the Gemara makes a number of suggestions. Ve'ema samim klal natafeshchel v'chalbana prat samim chazar klal klal prat uklal yata danel kena prat ma'aprat mefurish davar shikita v'ola v'rechono deif av kol davar shikita v'ola v'rechono deif. So the Gemara says, why did you do the whole number game? Why didn't you just simply say that the first samim is klal, the second samim is a klal, and this falls into the classic klal uprat uklal? And what we're going to darshan over here is just like the middle examples are things which are.
How does it give you numbers?
Yeah, that's exactly the Gemara's question. Meaning, how do you know that there's numbers that are coming out of this pasuk? Maybe the pasuk is not about numbers at all. Maybe it's just simply an example of what kind of spices should be brought. Things which burn well, which has a pleasant odor, recho no deif. So any av kolder v'shikita v'olav v'recho no deif. V'chite meim kin lechtov krach ad prata. So the Gemara says, well, maybe if that's what the Torah wanted to do, so the Torah would only give one example. Lai mitzrich sirchi, the Gemara says, no, that's not true. All three examples in the middle are necessary. Dikas of nataf, havamin, havamin, ilan. Nataf is from the tree. Right? We said it's sap from the tree. And aval gidule karka, but something that grows out of the ground. Lo misham hachikas of ushchelas. That's why I need the shchelas. Shchelas is something that grows out of the ground. The ikas of ushchelas, havamin, gidule karka, and aval min ilan, emalo. So misham hachikas of nataf. But I still need nataf because I need to know something coming from the tree is eligible for ketores. V'chelbana lugufe asamim neshavechora. Now chelbana has got a bad odor. So therefore, the Torah has to put chalbana in, because if the Torah did not write chalbana, so I would have thought it's not eligible because it has a bad odor. Im kain, good. So the Gemara is now in the middle of a question. The Gemara now wants to know, so why don't we say it's klal uprat uklal? Im kain, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why we could not have said that. Mikach lecha nafkale. Because that comes from kach lecha, take for you. The Gemara says, okay, but here's another question. How do I know that the samim afterwards was a repeat of all the other things beforehand? Meaning, we first had samim, that's two. Then we had three examples, so that gets us to five. And then we had the word samim again. And we said, okay, take the five and double it, so that gets us to ten. Maybe the second samim is another two. That's all. So it should be 2 plus 3 plus 2. 9. That's it. So the... I'm sorry. Good with the math today. So that should be 7. Plus, of course, the Levon afterwards, so that should be 8. Imke nechtov samim samim bahade adade. V'sof dechtov nataf eshchel v'chalbana. So the Gemara says, well, if that's what the Torah wanted, it would have said samim, followed then by samim, followed then by the three examples, and that would have gotten us to 7. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tani, Samim Klal. Now, okay, fine. That is one approach of the Gemara in terms of how we know that the magic number is 11. The Gemara now quotes Tani Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tani Samim Klal. Natav Shchel V'Chal Ben Aprat Samim Chazar Klal Klal Aprat Uklal Yata Dan Ela Kein Aprat Ma Aprat Mufurish Davar Shkita V'Ola V'Recho No Dave. I'll call Davar Shkita V'Ola V'Recho No Dave. Okay, exactly what the previous Brisa didn't want to do, this Brisa does. Darshan's Klal Aprat Uklal. Who's the author of this Brisa? None other than Tani Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Makes perfect sense. He is the mastermind of klal uprat uklal. So the Gemara continues, O eino ela klal bechlal rishon, uprat beprat rishon. Okay, these next lines of Gemara are going to sound very cryptic. I'll read them, I'll translate them. The Gemara later on is going to try to make sense of these next lines of the Gemara. Maybe the klal is klal rishon and the prat is prat rishon. Amarta lav. The Gemara says, no. Don't judge it with the latter language, but judge it rather with the former language. Okay, those are cryptic lines. Amar Mar, to which the Gemara is basically going to ask, what just happened? What did the Braisa just say? My kusha. You don't find this that often, where the Gemara basically is asking on itself, or on the Brisa that I just quoted, like, what just happened over there? What was the question? So, hachi kakashale. So the Gemara says, it goes like this. Samim basrai trei. Ki samim kanmai train. Pretty much what we asked previously, meaning that we know samim is two, and we know the Torah then gives three examples, followed then by another samim, maybe the second samim should also be two, just like the first samim was two. Similar to what we asked previously in the Gemara. Hada Vishani Kedishaninan. And then what was our answer? Same what we answered earlier, which is if the Torah wanted us to do that, it would have put the two samims right next to each other. The imke nichtav kras samim samim. Now taf ushchel v'chalbana. Umay prat beprat rishon hachi kakashale. And again, then when it talks about the prat rishon, what's that? What was bothering the Brisa over there? Mine ilanus yafen min nataf. Look, nataf tells us that things that grow from the tree, eligible. Gidule karki alfi mishchelis. Things that grow from the ground, also eligible. We learn that from shchelis. Velofenami malavona zaka. Now the Lavona Zaka doesn't burn well. Okay? I don't say that, the Gemara says it. So let's just assume that that's correct. So the Lavona Zaka doesn't burn well. So maybe, even if it doesn't burn well, it could be eligible based on the fact that Lavona Zaka is one of the things mentioned. The Gemara says, no. Because if that would be true, Lavona Zaka would have been placed between the two Samims and been incorporated as part of the Klal Uprat Uklal. The fact that it's put after the Klal Uprat Uklal tells us Lavona Zaka is not a prototype. It's not an example. It's just one of the 11 spices where we can learn nothing from it. Meaning it's offered, it's brought, but it's not as an example. So the Gemara says, now if Lavona Zaka would have been put in the middle, so then that would have resulted in 12. Because remember, we have some the first Samim, which is 2, followed then by examples. If we would have had 4 examples in the middle, so then by the time we get now to the second Samim, it would have been doubled. Doubling 6, 2 plus 4, so that would give us 6. Doubling 6 would equal 12. So the Gemara says, well, if you wanted to keep the numbers at 11, you could have taken Lavona Zaka, put that in the middle, taken Chelbana from the middle, and put it after the Klal Uprat Uklal. You would have then had Lavona Zaka in the middle. You would have had Chelbana on the outside. Remember, Chelbana, there's nothing special about Chelbana other than the fact that it has a bad odor. But in other words, there's nothing else that we need to learn from Chalbana. So Reish Lakish Amar Migufa Malashon Ketoros Davish Shekoter Va'Ola. So Reish Lakish says, look, you wanted to suggest that any spice, even if it doesn't burn well, is going to be eligible to be brought as one of the 11 spices for the Ketoros. So Reish Lakish says, look, just look at the word Ketoros. Ketoros is Davish Shekoter Va'Ola. Something where you burn it and it go and the smoke column goes up. The word Ketoros in of itself tells us that it has to burn well. Amar Rabbi Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chaside Kol Tana Shein Ba Miposhe Yisrael Eino Tanis. Famous Gemara over here. When you have a Tanis, a fast, so it's got everyone's got to be involved in the fast. Even Poshe Yisrael, even the sinners. How do I know that? Sharei Chalbana Rei Chara, because look at the 11 spices. One of the 11 spices is Chalbana, and it's got a bad odor. Umana Kasov Im Samemane Ketoros. And it's counted together with the Samamani Ketoros. And now that we're learning Krisos, by the way, we have even a better understanding of this Gemara. Meaning, we now know it's not even outside the Klal Uprat Uklal. It's actually in the Klal Uprat Uklal. Meaning, Lavona Zaka is outside. The Gemara suggested for a moment that maybe Chelbana should be put outside, but it's not. Chelbana is in between Samim and Samim. So it's Mamish in the Klal Uprat Uklal. So good. So in other words, so the Poshe Yisrael, which is akin to the Chalbana, have to be included in the fast. Abai quotes another pasuk. What is Abai adding to the discussion? I don't know. Okay, so that's it. Now we finished the Gemaras about Pitum Shemana Mishcha and Pitum HaKetoros. Compounding, making a compound of the Shemana Mishcha, making a compound of the Ketoros, both are subject to Kares prohibitions, Kares punishments if one does so. And okay, we have a somewhat better understanding of the composition of both. We learned in a brisa, Sach b'shem namishcha. If you anoint b'shem namishcha, Tan Rabbana Sach b'shem namishcha. Lebehem v'kelim pater. If I take the shem namishcha and apply it to animals or to kelim, I'd be exempt. Not mutter, certainly, but in other words, it's not a kares punishment. Now, if I apply it to a non-Jew or to a dead body, again, pater. Now, bishlam abehem avikelim dechsev abasar adam lo yisach kuvehem avikelim lavadam. Look, certain parts of this brisa I totally get. The Torah, when giving us the prohibition of not taking the Shemana Mishcha and applying it to another person, the Torah says very clearly, al basar adam. You can't put it on the basar of a person. So, obviously, that excludes Behem and Kalim, which are not Adam. Mesim nami parta dekev and the mace lay mace mikri valav adam. And when someone's dead, they're not called an adam anymore. Adam is only for someone who's alive. Okay. I love dekochama my pater. But if I take the shemna mishcha and I apply to a non-Jew, really I'm exempt? The Torah doesn't give a qualification. The Torah just simply says al adam. And usually we assume that the word adam is a universal term, applies to Jew and non-Jew alike. Ha adam ninu. So the Gemara says, "La'ai dechsi ve'etin sonitzon marisi adam, atem adam. I'm sorry, adam atem, atem kareem adam. Ein of the kochavim kareem adam." Okay, the Gemara now offers a thesis that adam is only a term that is specific to Jews, not to non-Jews. So the Gemara says, "I can show you a number of psukim that seem to refute that thesis." So the Gemara says after our battle with Midian, it says that we captured or killed Nefesh Adam Shishasar Elef. It's talking about the Midianim. And it uses the word Adam. Yeah, but Adam over there just simply was because we talked about the spoils of war, Adam versus Behema, so it uses the word Adam over there. But Adam by itself is only reference to a Jew. So the Gemara says, okay, but what about the end of Sefer Yonah? Right? Where Ninveh is made up of Adam u'Behema. And again, Adam over there is used for non-Jew. Again, the Gemara's answer is, ha'ula fuke Behema. Well, could be that Adam over there is just to exclude us from Behema. Okay. It seems like this next approach of the Gemara kind of like abandons that thesis, that Adam is only for Jew. Meaning, although the Gemara tried to defend that position, it's a tough position to defend. Right? We know in the beginning of Vayikra, it says, Adam ki yakriv mikem, and we know that everyone can bring a carbon, both Jew and non-Jew alike. I'm not sure if the Gemara is really sticking with this idea that Adam only applies to Jew and not to non-Jew. Anyway, the Gemara gives a different approach. The Gemara says, how do I know that if I take the Shemana Mishka and I apply to a non-Jew, I'm going to be exempt? Because the Pasuk says, because you have to be a Bar Hachi. Meaning, if you're one who can make the compound, you're the one who is going to be subject to the prohibition of applying it. If you're not one who can make a compound, so then you're not subject to the prohibition, you have to be what we call in yeshiva parlance a bar hachi, right? Someone who is in the parsha. Tanya ida chasach b'shem namishkol behem avakel mal dekocham meisam pater lamalachim ulekohanim. Now, what if I take the shem namishka and I rub it on either a king or a kohen gadol? Now, in other words, we're not talking about the actual anointing of the king or the kohen gadol. We mean after he was anointed the king of the Kohen Gadol. So Rameh Mechai Rav Yehuda Poter. So the Gemara brings the Machlokas. Now, V'kama Yisoch V'yechayv. Now, how much do you need to apply in order to be Chayv Kares? Rameh Omer Kosho, Rav Yehuda Omer Kizayis. Okay? Fine. Now, there are two Machlokasim going on over here. We're going to first... okay, let's go step by step. V'hamar Rav Yehuda Poter, Ki Poter Rav Yehuda, Gabe Malachim V'Kohanim. Now, the Gemara says, don't confuse the two debates. They're two separate debates. Meaning, Rav Yehuda exempts, but Rav Yehuda exempts when you anoint a king or a Kohen Gadol. But if I anoint a regular person, so you're going to be chayiv. How much do you need? A kazayis. Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, b'may pligi, Rav Yosef, b'may pligi, Rav Meir, savar, al-basar, adam, l'yisach, tzivik, tzivah, shayi, temim, and azar. Masicha, kol shuhu, af, nesina, kol shuhu. Now, in terms of Rav Meir's position, look, the Torah says sach and the Torah says nesina. Now, how much, when it said the Torah says sach, to anoint, that's any amount. When the Torah says nesina, how much is that? Again, any amount. Rav Yehuda, savi, af, nesina, da'al zar, min nesina, da'alma. Ma nesina, da'alma, kezayis, af, nesina, da'al zar, kezayis. Look, Rav Yehuda's argument is, what is normal nesina? A normal nesina is a kezayis. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, you'll find this by, Truma, right? Right. The pasuk says Rashi. It's one of the last Rashi's on the page. Menasal kohen es hakodesh tichsev be'achila. Right. You give to the kohen an amount that is eligible for eating truma. That's a kezayis. So too, aval sichel mimshach malachim v'kohanim divrei kol kolshehu. However, if you were anointing, any amount of anointing is going to be a violation. Now let's go back to the first machlokas, kohanim and malachim. How much needs to be applied? Sorry. If I apply it to a Kohen Gadol or to a king, am I going to be liable? So Rameir Sarav Asher Tim Emenu Azar Ksev Umelch V'Kohen Hashta Zarim Ninu. Rameir says, look, the Torah says, if you apply it to a Zar, and now the Kohen and the Melech no longer need it. Rav Yehuda Sarav Be'inan Ad Ika Zar Mitchalas Avad Sofo Melch V'Kohen Meikar Olav Zarim Avu. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? There was at one point in time a period where you needed to put it on the Kohen Gadol and on the king. So therefore, if I take Shem and Mishkan, I apply it to Kohen Gadol and the king, even though right now he doesn't need it, even though right now he was anointed. But since at one point in time he needed it, so therefore vis-a-vis this halacha, he is not considered a czar. Amar Avika Berei Derav Ami V'azdu L'taymaru D'tanya. We're going to do just a couple more lines and we'll finish today. Bas Kohen Shenisa Yisrael V'achla B'truma. Okay, you have a Bas Kohen. She marries a regular Yisroel. Now, she eats Truma, she's no longer entitled to eat Truma. Mishlamas HaKeren Ve'ena Mishlamas HaChamesh. So she has to pay principal, but she doesn't pay Chamesh. Omisa Sabah Strefa. If she commits adultery, she's put to death with Strefa. Amnise Slecham and Apsula Mishlamas HaKeren Ve'chamesh Omisa Sabah Chenek Divra Meir. If she marries somebody who she is not fit to marry, so now she totally loses her Kohen status. She pays Karen V'chomesh. If she commits adultery, she's put to death with Chenek, which is how a regular Bas Yisrael would be put to death. And the Chachamim say that this Bas Kohen never loses her Bas Kohen status, even if she marries somebody she's not fit to marry. And what the Gemara is basically trying to do over here is say, look, the Chachamim over here is Rav Yehuda of the previous page, meaning Rav Yehuda of the previous page says that when I take my Shemen HaMishcha and I apply it to a Kohen or to a king, so you're going to be Pater. Why? Because a Kohen and a king never lose their status. Meaning, since at one point in time they needed the application, so therefore they always had status. Here too, the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda that a Bas Kohen always maintains her status. So if she eats Truma, she will always, she'll never have to pay Chomesh. And if she commits adultery, she will always be put to death with Strefa. Okay, it's a strange analogy, but the Gemara makes that analogy between the two. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pause over here. Okay, we'll pick it up tomorrow. More about Shemen HaMishcha.